Welcome back to the Dungeon Master's Block, the place where we come to talk about the Dungeon Master, the most important person in the game. With every conversation, we hope to inspire as many as possible to keep on Dungeon Mastering.
And I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, aka Jote Maniac. And today we're going to head back to our Raw Real Monsters episode, and we are going to be talking about my personal favorite monster from all of Dungeons & Dragons, and it's none other than the Displacer Beast. And I thought, who better to bring on to talk about monsters than the two minds behind Kill Every Monster, a podcast, if you are not listening to, you absolutely, absolutely should. Lo and behold, the episode that I joined them on is also talking about the Displacer Beast. And if you don't know about the show, a quick breakdown is we talk about the way the monster is presented in the 5th edition Monster Manual, what we would change, and then go through an actual play demonstrating what that monster can be at your table. But Dylan and Aram are here, and we are a bit more negative on this episode than we are in some of the others, and it comes out of a place of love for the Displacer Beast and wishing it could be more. And in that wish, in that hope, dear listener, if you are a patron of this podcast, then you should keep your eye close to the Patreon, because I thought the only thing that made sense to do would be to make a better version of the Displacer Beast that I would want to see at the table. And that is exactly what happened. So keep an eye out there, and we will have that dropping. Maybe I'll call it the Displacer Beast Matron, Patron, something like that. Who knows? But with that out of the way, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to head to the meat.
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
Why can't we have some meat?
Looks like meat back on the menu, boys.
So today on the meat, we have a long, longtime friend of the podcast and someone who I have been in a murder basement with before. We have Aram and Dylan, the hosts of the aptly Emmy nominated and Audioverse winning Kill Every Monster. Guys, thanks for coming on.
That Emmy's right around the corner. Sure to happen any day here.
Give me a couple years.
Write that down, everyone. It's coming. So Aram, it's been quite a while.
It has been a while.
Dylan, it's been never. So then the question is, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves? And then I like following with a caveat. Did you think the listeners would be interested in?
I am one of the co-hosts of the Kill Every Monster podcast, the other co-host being Aram over there. And that's really all I do that the guests would be particularly interested. If they really, really like me, they can find me on... I did a series on One Shot, and we were on an arc for Unprepared Casters.
He also makes, like, lasers tell you how your heart beats.
Not even
like
remotely close.
It's pretty neat.
Nope.
Something like that.
I'm also physicist.
You've explained it to me 7 times. It's got something to do with the heart.
You went deep into his villain arc. Real deep into his villain arc. He uses lasers to tell you how your heart
cardiac
works.
Medicine.
I don't want that. Want that at all.
Right. He blows up a nuke and he tells you how your heart is.
That's not how that works either.
And my name is Aram. I am the other co-producer of Kill Every Monster. I am the creator of God's Fall and of Now and Then. And also Dylan and I recently launched Dead Ghost Productions, which is a storytelling collective. It kind of houses all the other shows we've done, but it also provides us a mechanism to tell longer form stories in short bits. So we tell arcs of stories. We will pick a new cast and a new system and tell a 6 to 8 episode TTRPG actual a play using that system and then move on to the next story.
I like it. I feel like that starts to adequately answer question number 2. Is there anything else that you guys are working on and the true caveat that you can talk about?
Grad school.
Yeah. Lasers.
Nope. Master's degree. It's nuclear cardiac medicine now. Spec scans.
Bombs to make your heart work.
Nope. Still wrong.
Dylan and I are going to be at Breakout Con, and we don't know what we're going to do there yet, but we are going to be there. So
that is in March, depending on when this comes out.
Yeah. I just got asked to be at Gen Con for a thing, which I'm pretty sure is going to be a lock, but I don't know if I can talk about that. So I'm just going to say that.
Done. Then that's where the murder basements are.
Yeah.
What's the murder basement? What was this about?
We stayed in an Airbnb for Gen Con once. We got invited over to a friend's place, and they had found a basement in the house that was just unfinished is an understatement.
Mm. Earthen tunnel, is that what we've got here?
More or
yeah.
less.
Yeah. I mean, and admittedly, so I was at a catacomb, and there was a murder basement that I would only describe as uncomfortably finished. In the sense that, like,
that's
floor was done,
kind.
The walls were done, there was a restroom down there, there was a drain, and I have told you the totality of things that were in that basement.
Right. Finished, not furnished.
The unfinished one, I could just accept. Like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, that's a place we go if there's a tornado or something that would warrant we need to be there to be
Someone's going
to
finish this one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was, oh, wow, huh, there's nothing here but a place to clean up. So, yeah. Yes. Go to cons. Basements are fine.
You probably paid $350 a night for that basement.
Yeah. It was a lot. Oh, and that had like the garage in a garage. That place was a special, special place. There's no segue. Surprise question time.
Excellent.
I don't know of a way to ask this question without the two of you getting angry at each other as an avid listener of Kill Every Monster.
Mm-hmm.
But I will attempt. Is there a monster that you're hoping shows up? Is there one that like hasn't gotten on your radar that hopefully either someone brings to you or like you find the right guest for it or something along those lines?
Day one, I've wanted to do Lich and Beholder. Those are the two I've been really excited about, and both of them are happening in season 4. Wait, that's not true, is it? One is happening in season 4, one's happening in season 5.
No, we haven't done any casting for season 5. This is why I'm in charge of this.
We have done some casting for season 5, haven't we? Oh, have we done both the Lich and the Beholder, though? We've set those up, right?
Yes, both of those have been recorded.
We recorded the Lich?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
We absolutely
did. Yes, okay.
I tried to set it up as best as I could, and here we are.
You did. And here we are. Honestly,
you're right.
When you said it would make us fight, I did not anticipate this being the direction it would take.
Me either, honestly.
I'm just fighting with my own memory. I don't know if that counts.
It happens when you get to a certain age.
But yes, the Lich and the Beholder are the ones I've been looking forward to a lot.
I have been perpetually waiting for my opportunity to complain about how devils are horrifically misrepresented in Dungeons & Dragons and bear no resemblance to anything anyone would consider actually devilish in folklore or any other form of fiction beyond Gygax and the Nine Hells.
Yes. I will just stand on yes. And
one day someone will come and say Baelor to me. Or no, is that a demon? Pit Fiend's the devil. Doesn't matter. Someone will come and say the fun words and I'll get to talk about it.
There we go. The whole part one. Get ready, folks. All right. But it would be remiss if the reason we weren't here is to talk about a monster. And there's a pretty specific reason why this monster was chosen. Because coming in season 4, it will be me talking about the Displacer Beast. So we figured we could just retread some of that now.
And yeah.
Why do more research when you've already done some?
Yeah.
So, Displacer Beast. And then the question is, what is a Displacer Beast?
Blur kitties. That's what they are. Little blur kitties.
So, blur kitties. More explicitly, it's a panther, functionally. It's a cougar with some extra legs and some tentacles off of its back with horrifying pin suckers that also aren't quite visible. They have an effect on them that basically makes them constantly a little hazy, so they are harder to hit, harder to spot. They are a terrifying, intelligent predator.
The only thing I would change, there's only one word in that entire thing. It was perfect, and they should be an intelligent, terrifying predator.
Yes.
Because as you will probably hear, that's just not how it happens. If I look solely at the stat block, then that is probably, because this is one of my favorite monsters of all time, it is probably one of the most disappointing things. There's a
please, dear listener, if you're not already listening to Kill Every Monster, go find out how many monsters are kind of a bummer. When you get into the stat block, the Tarrasque, that's a huge bummer to me when awful. I just looked at
the very condition. Disappointing.
The thing, I mean, the Displacer Beast can be horrible, frightening, terrifying, stalking you from the shadows, not sure where it's going to pounce from death, but it's also a cat. So at other times, it's an idiot because that's how one cats second. Are.
So the Displacer Beast, super bummer, right?
I mean, in some ways, yes. If you play them by the book, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
If you just ignore how they're written and play them like a pack of cats would be played, like, because that's how they hunt in packs. I mean, one of them is terrifying.
Wait, what are you talking about? Cats, cats tend to live in packs, but I don't think many hunt in them.
Cats hunt in packs, don't they? Is that how tigers work?
I don't think
they all. Yeah, they all come from different angles and wear them down. I've watched a lot of nature documentaries. They attack in, like, groups. It's not like with wolves where they're coordinated, right?
But tigers are solitary, as far as I can tell.
I have seen cats attack multiple buffalo at the same time and all wear it down. I've watched these films.
I'm not saying you haven't. I'm saying tigers are naturally solitary hunters. Lions sometimes hunt in packs if they're hunting a pack.
Okay. The text for the monster said they hunt in packs. I mean, I'm just look,
that doesn't
one
make
is
sense.
Terrifying. More than one is horrifying. The point is these creatures should be ambush predators, which is terrifying because they're hidden. They can be, I think some of them are led to like be arrogant, evil. Like some people want to use them to give an evil speech because they're intelligent as well, but they shouldn't be. They should be hunters who seek you quietly, who you can't quite see even when they're upon you.
So this is part of why I was pushing back on that. I don't think they should hunt in packs because they are ambush predators.
That's what you're saying.
It's much harder to
see each other.
Yeah. It's much harder to do an ambush when you have a bunch. Yeah. Whereas, like, I see the stat block as given, and the first thought in my head is things like predator or alien, the sort of thing where, like, your concern is not the long, drawn-out fight scene. It's the fact that it is in the trees, it has got one of you, and you don't know where it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea of also having several 700-pound creatures stalking you is a rough... We can all suspend our disbelief and because we're playing Dungeons and Dragons in the first place. But even that idea is like, well, I feel like I'd notice. I feel like I'd pick out that there are several of them trying to murder me, but maybe I wouldn't.
I also think that if panthers could talk to each other, they'd probably work in teams.
Animals can communicate. Like, they can't speak.
They can, but they can't have full sentences. A displacer beast could sit there in a circle with other displacer beasts drawing a little map with one of its tentacle tails saying, this is how we're going to do it. I mean, they absolutely could do that. They have that level of intelligence.
I mean, they have an intelligence of 6, let's be fair. They are hyper-intelligent for cats.
The upper limits over time have been pushed to the point where they have been able to communicate directly in common. Which I do think is a bridge too far for me personally. Their ability to connect or communicate with other displacer beasts, I'm willing to let that stretch out. But for them to just start having an open conversation, that's a bit much. I'm not okay with that.
No, I think that's actually the ideal level of intelligence for something like this. The spot where it can conceptualize at a human speaking in common level. It just can't communicate that. Like, it knows what it's doing. It's making active choices. When it sees you being afraid, it's not sitting there going, the prey is spooked, it will run. It knows you're afraid. It recognizes it is scared.
And I like that because it goes to the point where it could also know to leave and then come back. They're like, this is not an ideal scenario for me to be hunting these people. I will wait until there is one, and then I will come back, and I will just take the smallest one, and I will wander off, and then we'll just see where it goes from there.
And it specifically says that it'll hunt just for fun, not to eat you. So it'll just mess with you, and it could project versions of itself. It could just spook you for days before it ever even struck, just to mess with you.
Yes. That, which harkens to the original, which is almost 100 years old now. The Voyage of the Space Beagle is the full version where it's the coral, and it's basically just a full-fledged, that's what it is. Like, it's that monster. There is not a question, to the point where, like, the cover kind of alludes to it, but once you start reading the description, it's just the biggest, baddest displacer beast you've ever heard of.
Oh, man, I'm looking at it right now. You are absolutely right. It's just the displacer beast. Wow, I didn't know that.
Other way around, the displacer beast is just the coral.
Correct, yes. Right. To the point where, like, if you layered in a handful of things from, like, what it's bringing it, because basically, like, the ears aren't actual ears. They're basically just hair follicles that are picking up things. I think it's sensing things from, like, a mile or two away of, like, basically, it also describes it wants to take the id out of creatures, which represented as once humans show up, it's pulling the phosphorus from their bones.
Okay.
Terrifying.
Yeah, so that's its method. And then the funniest back and forth is it can't directly communicate with them. And basically it's on a planet where there's not a lot of food left for it. A spaceship shows up and it says, "Oh gosh, that's great. But if I mess this up, I won't find where they came from and I can't get all of them. But man, I'd really like to get some of them. But if I mess this up, I won't be able to get all of them." And it's just this back and forth of, like, I really want to murder them, but if they find out it's me, then I can't figure out how to get back to the rest of them. And so it's this big back and forth of, like, it trying to convince, like, I don't know what did kill it. And it's literally captive in it somewhere, just hanging out because it knows it can get out at any time.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that is, to me, really disappointing about the 5th edition Displacer Beast, is, like, it is written very strictly as hard to hit, does a multi-attack. But, like, because it is a panther, because it is it looks like it's built to be a jungle cat, right? Those tentacles could serve a very clear purpose. If it got into a tree and pulled you up, right, you make it a grapple, because it has a 10-foot reach. So if it just yanked you into the air and fought you up there, suddenly, much more concerning, becomes something that lends itself to those sort of strategy decisions of, like, okay, if I ever let myself get into a one-on-one fight with the fighter on the ground, that's obviously a problem. No, they're intelligent enough to conceptualize things like, I can't directly fight the fighter one-on-one on the ground. But also, if he's the first one I try to get, then he'll be too loud. But also, if I pull the wizard into the air, they can cast spells in the air. Like, that doesn't impede them at all. There's cleverness to that I don't think is represented in even the actually fully humanoid intelligent creatures in D&D.
Yeah, Keith Amon, the monsters know what they're doing. Yeah, yep. It's what makes me think of, because even you saying it now, as much as I have thought about this, this is the first time I've ever thought, I'm going to pick them up and I'm going to drop them. I'm going to drop them right away. Like, throw them down. Like, here's falling damage. And then I'll go for the next one. Like, there's nothing to say, like, hey, I've tried this before. I figured out that falling hurts. And so I'm going to pick you up into the trees at least 10 feet, and I'm just going to toss you either back behind me, and you're going to take 20 feet of falling damage, or just even the 10. That's fine. We'll just start softening them up right now.
It's got a 40-foot move speed, so depending on how you want to run it, you could get, like, not to mention things like, get the wizard into the tree, leave. Like, a fighter can take falling damage. Like, what's 2d6 to a level 10 fighter, right? This, or I guess these are challenge 3, so, like, 2d6 to a 3rd, 4th level fighter, still not nothing, but, like, you can tank that. The wizard is in a tree now. I hope you prepared Featherfall, because otherwise you're screwed. I'm going to leave. You're going to lose line of sight real quick in the leaves. And I'm just going to pick off the rest of your party.
Well, the other thing I think is, like, the opposition of a grapple. So I think about like the dog I have. The dog I have is give or take about 65 pounds. And I can win most of the time, but, like, it's a concerted effort. I have to be paying attention. I've not paid attention and got my wrist sprained before. Now imagine you're on the receiving end of something with six legs and 700 pounds. Like you don't mm-hmm. really win that. I mean, especially if you're the wizard. So
it's represented in the stat block too. It's a 18 strength. Like they don't throw those around. It is for a baseline adventurer. It is as strong as you could ever possibly hope to be.
Yeah, it's like a really quiet, agile tank. That's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just speedy. It's not just invisible. When it does hit you, it hits you really, really hard.
Well, I also think that all of those things lead into that you're not just, like, stumbling into this. Like, this is a problem. This is a problem. Like, you're being brought in, or you've heard about it, or you're aware. Hey, if you go over there, be aware that there's a problem, and that problem will find you.
If you ever fight a displacer beast, you shouldn't know it's a displacer beast until a couple rounds into combat. Like, you should not be aware of it. It should not walk up and present itself. You shouldn't see it on a rise in the distance and be aware that there are displacer beasts in this area. You should never know it's there until it's too late.
No, and yet they didn't bother giving it any skill proficiencies, let alone so stealth.
Weird. Doesn't make any sense.
Even because that, some of the things, like I think we're all of the mind, like there's a certain design space, there's a certain amount of words that can be counted, and there's this, that, the other. And I can start to do that because I'll think that same way when I watch a movie and I'm like, okay, there are clearly production things that have been chosen. But yeah. This one's like, that's one word. And one number. And we didn't add that. And that's really weird to me. It's on a line that is just already there. But like not adding that is something that it is directly proficient in is probably the hardest thing for me to understand. If you're not laying in like...
Especially given that like that is specifically what all cats do. Like even Panthers. When you talk about lions talking or hunting in packs, they're still sneaking through the tall grass.
In the monster manual, a panther has a perception of +6 and a perception of +4 and a stealth of +6. So it has the panther has the bonuses, but the displacer beast doesn't. That doesn't make any sense.
And instantly that's a minimum 11 for me because the whole advantage disadvantage thing is a +5 or a -5. So right, minimum, yeah. That's a stealth of 11 then. If you're telling me the Panther has 6, Displacer Beast has 11 without, and probably more.
Yeah.
Right, because it should be better at it.
Though we know why that happens, and it's pretty straightforward, because they aren't designing monsters to interact outside of combat. They aren't planning on you sneaking with the monsters, generally speaking. The Panther has stats because it's a player companion. Drizzt had one, therefore you want one, mm-hmm. therefore it needs to have a complete stat block because it's going to be sneaking with the party when you try to get into the enemy base and whatever. The Displacer Beast is a monster, and it appears when I roll initiative.
Yeah, but if my Panther can sneak past a pride of Displacer Beast, it just...
Oh, I'm not saying it's particularly coherent right. in the game space. I'm saying that is where the design conceit comes from. I have to give skills to monsters that exist outside of combat and might need skill checks. If it exists within combat, it doesn't need to make skill checks. It's not a real person.
Mm.
And that's one of those things you can see in the Displacer Beast, is this was built to fight. And that's it. Because it should have a climb speed. It should be built to do grapples, because that's also, again, kind of how cats hunt, is they will grab and tear.
Yeah, and imagine a cat mm-hmm. that can do it at 10 feet. It's the only method it's going to use. There's no other method.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Displacer Beast passive perception is 14 and a Panther's, is 11 and a Panther's is 14.
Yeah, because the Panther has proficiency.
Why is a Panther a better cat? I don't understand.
Clearly, this Panther had a lot of training, because that's my big takeaway, is that there's been a lot of work done with these Panthers to get them where they need to be.
Oh, Panthers are also faster.
No.
Panthers are faster, too. Yep. Mm-hmm. They are.
So the only reason, like, a Displacer Beast has way more hit points and a better damage output.
And no climb speed.
Let me run you down this one.
And a Panther does.
Panther, 50-foot move speed, 40-foot climb speed, Displacer Beast, 40-foot speed. The Displacer Beast has one more AC because it has natural armor. It has 13 hit points as opposed to the 85 of a Displacer Beast. Fair play. Mm-hmm. It has proficiency in stealth and perception. It has keen smell, so it actually can hunt, which the Displacer Beast cannot. It has pounce. If the panther moves at least 20 feet towards a creature, then hits with a claw attack on the same turn, target succeeds on a 12 strength saving throw or be knocked prone. And if the target is prone, a panther can make a free bite attack. That one, to be fair, wouldn't make sense on a Displacer Beast because its primary attacks are the tentacles. Sure. That being said, it is weird that a Displacer Beast can't attack with its mouth or paws.
Or pounce.
Again, I don't think it would pounce because it's going to attack with the tentacles and drag you in, but that should also be a special action.
It's got giant sickle claws and huge teeth. It's never going to use them. It doesn't make any sense.
No, but that's the thing. Those should be under actions, not in... It wouldn't pounce on you. It would fight you and drag you in with those tentacles, but once you're restrained, there is no reason it wouldn't tear you apart with its claws. And then, yeah, it does the same basic damage because it's a D6 plus 2 piercing on the bite, D4 plus 2 on the claws, whereas the Displacer Beast is a D6 plus 4 on the tentacle with a D6 extra piercing damage. So really, at the end of the day, it's one of those things like multi-attack, more hit points, more damage. And that's all a Displacer Beast has to win. And all of the actual functional things that would make it the predator
a cat.
That it should be, a cat. Even at baseline, panther wins.
Hands down, time and time again.
I just thought of this now. Even if you took the tentacles off, most of that doesn't make sense because it has three sets of limbs. Like it doesn't even make sense from the There are so many things that could still do better than the panther by just bust that alone.
It was given extra claws and it's still not using them.
There's a whole extra set up front. Or right in the middle, rather.
And it's slower. It's got two extra legs and it's
hard
slower.
To manage.
And it can't climb.
It's real hard to manage all these limbs, okay?
Let's also consider from a from just a biology perspective, those tentacles have spikes in them, right?
Right.
So what are those tentacles for?
Grabbing.
Gripping.
Grabbing and holding specifically. Those spikes are going to make it so that if you try to escape the grapple, it tears. One, that's a cool ability at baseline. You roll to escape the grapple. If you succeed, you still take damage.
Yep.
Sure, but why can't... Then it should be able to climb more.
No, that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying that those are designed to grapple, and the reason to grapple is... Okay, I've now used my tentacles to hold you.
Right.
So now, I should have abilities keying off of if enemy grappled, then do a horrifying murder.
Yeah. It should do the little thing cats do where their back legs kick, 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 and dig in as it's holding you.
It has four of them
to
do it
to. It should do something. Yeah. It should do something else.
Or just rip out your throat with its terrifying mouth.
Right.
All of this also makes me sad because the original, I'm realizing this now too, even the storyline for like how they exist in the Forgotten Realms also just kind of takes it from the Space Beagle. Because the original planet it's on, it was brought there. It is technically an invasive species to that world because it was a pet of something else than whatever happened. And then it proceeded to murder everything else that was left.
Cats do that too.
Yeah. The Displacer Beasts were also aware enough that they were going extinct in the Feywild and chose to do something about it. Like the level of intelligence that directly speaks to, or at least level of awareness to say, hey, if we stay here, we won't exist anymore. We should find a solution to this problem. And then they jumped over, you know, through those thinner spaces to the prime material plane. And we're like, oh, this is awesome. There's all kinds of fun here. And not all this weirdness with time. So I'd rather be here. But the idea that, yeah, even then, like you're being raised as pets by the courts of the Feywild, and like you're walking in and just nothing. Like you're not doing anything.
Maybe that's why. Maybe they got too pampered in the courts.
They're just trying to work their way back up.
Things being done for them. Yeah, they've lost their natural edge.
I was told many times not to use these claws or teeth.
I'm sorry, but that would be fun if you run into a Displacer Beast. It's all meow. It's all like super pampered. It's got a little collar on.
Sure, but that still loses that They were pets. They escaped. They lashed out. They broke off from the Fey masters and went wild in the Fey wild to the point where the Fey had to breed blink dogs into existence to hunt them because they couldn't hunt the displacer beasts on their own. Then the displacer beasts were like, okay, the blink dogs are effective. We need to get out of here and find somewhere new to live and move to the material plane. There is no point in that where they are pampered. Like, just at square one, yes, they're pampered. But then they tore the people who pampered them apart and then had to be hunted by dogs. And these should still be scary. Yeah. There is no argument to make, in fiction at least, in the fiction we're presented with.
And they should be really good at hiding.
Yeah, because the whole blink dog thing, the reason that there is, you know, the blink dogs were bred specifically for that, to the point where, like, their blink is at a dissonant frequency to the displacement. Like, that's the reason they don't like it. Is literally they exist on a level that, like, them being in the same space, like, is basically discordant to each other at these opposing frequencies. Also, what a cool way to mess with a displacer beast that could have been available. Like, you figure out a thing to then do that and disrupt the displacement or something along those lines, but no.
Or just the way that they keep popping in and popping out. There's just too many signals for them to properly redirect their blur effect to. They can't keep track of it.
And that's how fish get holes in their head, because there's too many other fish that messes with their brain.
Yeah. I would use, I guess, the dolphin to orca analogy with them. If the displacer beasts are orcas and the blink dogs are dolphins, although I don't like that because it makes it...
Aram, don't get me wrong. I know where you're coming from. They're dogs. They're good puppies. Whatever.
They're good puppies.
They're monstrous hunting beasts bred by nobility to murder the pets they lost control of. The blink dogs are monsters.
I know. They are monsters. I keep wanting to make them soft and cuddly, although it's more funny for them to be monsters, but also be dog-like. That's
absolutely, 100% agreed.
Oh, yeah, and as history has told us, every dog can be a bad dog, and every dog can be a good dog. Mm-hmm. It just depends who's on the other end of that. See my dogs, see my neighbor's dogs. So then the other question I had is, if you had your way, you had, like, you could construct a solid session of introducing a displacer beast, what would be the method by which you would say, this is a really good way to showcase the actual displacer beast that I would want to see at the table? And I have my answer. So let's start there, because I've done it this way. I feel like I found it in the third edition module, where a displacer beast had taken over an abandoned hedge maze, and it was living in that. And then it was messing with the players that way, to the point where I also allowed the tentacle to go through the hedge mage. Poor mage, but go through the actual walls, because it knew exactly what it was doing. This is where it lives. It fully understands. And then when the players would try and get through, it's too difficult. The players would try and go over, it's not there anymore. It hit you and it ran away. Like, it understands what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. I'd want to make it personal, where the players did something to earn the personal enmity of this displacer beast, and they might not even know what it is, but the displacer beast is mad and it's decided to make this personal.
The displacer beast is one of the few times where I'm going to advocate for effectively using it as a random encounter. I don't want it to have any setup. I don't think it should have taken, I don't want it to have a major base or something. It is, you're traveling between towns, you're foraging for food, and the ranger starts realizing there is nothing big enough for us to subsist off of. Like, you occasionally find a deer carcass, and it's like, this would have been good, but it was, like, killed, a few bites were taken, it was mauled and left to rot. And then you hunt the players.
And that deep medicine check is that there's no more phosphorus in its bones.
Or even just, like, the many, many puncture wounds. Claws don't just puncture. Claws are for tearing. They're for slicing. There would be rips. This is a huge cluster around bruised tissue of needle point jabbed in. This deer was held still while it was torn apart. And a, you know, good medicine check nets you that. A nature check nets you that. Is a displacer beast MO. You are in its hunting grounds. It lives here, and that's why you can't hunt. because it did already.
The other thing that I think has been touched, and I don't know how you would layer it in, is the idea that they can exist for a really long time without feeding. So even though it hasn't found things, like, it's totally okay with that for some time. And then the one in the book is basically kind of starting to lose some of its sensibilities, to the point where it's also come across others that have basically not fed for so long that while they are still alive, they're not able to do anything, at which point it murders them and takes what little id they have to continue on. So the idea that, like, a displacer beast can just level itself up, also a lot of fun. But I love the idea of not knowing, like, combining all of them, not knowing, stumbling in and offending it because you didn't know, and then you stumble your way into a hedge maze, and now you have to deal with this thing that you didn't even understand you offended.
A note on the phosphorus, too. That should be actually be a decent, a pretty easy nature check, because if the phosphorus was completely removed from bones, they would be incredibly fragile. When you went to investigate that corpse, they should just break as you pull them away.
Oh, how
so that would be a real easy way to clue your party. At least that something's weird, even if they didn't make the connection of why that's weird.
They'd be so confused, too, which is ideal, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming across a corpse that is mush in a way that implies rot, but the only thing that is actually soft is the bones. Yeah. The meat is actually fully intact.
That's horrifying.
Finding a dead deer, you know, I grew up out in the county, so it was the sort of thing where, like, sometimes people would be driving and, like, a deer got hit and left on the side of the road. Somebody'd pull over and just get out of the pickup, grab the thing, and be like, eating this when we get home. Doing something like that with the adventurers, where you're like, there is a more or less completely intact deer here. It's already dead. You get near it. It does not smell of rot whatsoever. The meat seems completely fine. And they're like, sweet. And the moment they try to move it, it moves like a beanbag. There's no rigidity. The bones are basically
just
jello.
Crackling
so it
bones.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. And otherwise it moves like a big bag of gel. Disgusting. I hate it so much.
Well, but that's easily your inciting event. To say, hey, no, that's not yours. That's mine. I did that. And now you're, no, that's not. And then we go from there. It's like, okay, then I'll hang out. It looks like there's more things. There's more things to kill. I'm stoked at the opportunity.
It is one of the things where, we've sort of had this conversation on Kill Every Monster, but we'll have it here too. I want this in a game where I can pick off the mage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, how much would it suck in a D&D session, you know, your third level characters, and I yank the wizard up into the thing. I hit it with two tentacle attacks in a round, so that's 4d6 plus 8 damage, and then I drop you out of the tree. You're dead. That's a dead wizard. You can't do that. That sucks so much.
It should be like one of those birds, those spike birds, those horrifying birds that will take a carcass and impale it on a thorn. And then tear it apart there. I could see a displacer beast picking you up, impaling you, going to the next one.
Well, the other thing I think is, I'm going to leave. I'm going to take you and I'm going to leave. Have fun.
Yeah.
Because, right. I mean, especially if the version that's the less aggressive version is, there's an NPC that's traveling with the party. They're gone. I took them. You can't figure me out. And I actually can climb. First and foremost, I can climb. And then I just ran away.
At full speed. Yeah. There's no reason why a creature with 18 strength couldn't pick up 150, 170 pounds and run away with it at full speed.
Six limbs. Yeah. But again, hard to manage. Very hard to manage those limbs. The timing is tough.
This comes back to the discussion we had earlier on how intelligent it is. I don't think it's smart enough to give a villain speech, as you mentioned. I do think it's smart enough to get not arrogant, but stupid. You know, take the NPC, you eat the cook, and you immediately come back because you know in the morning they're going to realize he's gone. And that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to watch you start to get scared because this is my TV.
Well, and it's kind of like they're smart enough to figure out what kind of evil you would prefer them to be. If it is that level of arrogance, is it a level of maliciousness? Is it what kind of evil would I like this displacer beast to embody? And I, mm-hmm. I've killed, and that's kind of the thing, that arrogance of like, well, I've killed countless people before and I stole this one. And they, oh man, they have a terrible time when they find out that somebody's gone, and it is hilarious. And then you just walk back and you watch them.
And an experienced party will then learn to use that against the displacer beast. Like, oh no, please don't attack me, please. And draw it in because they know it'll direct its cruelty to the weaker ones and then use that against it. Once you get to learn the thing, you can actually anticipate it.
I thought Aram was going to suggest bringing an actual red shirt along.
I was actually thinking of the kobold's ability where it can go, no. And like, I think like that would actually draw it in. Yes, the weak one. And then, you know, hit it from the side.
And this is the thing is like, for me, with a 6 intelligence, it is clever enough to make longer decisions, but not to like fully form a strategy. Because I think you're right. I think that if you scream and you're terrifying, it will identify you as the weak one. But if it's the sort of monster that takes joy in that, that is entertained by that, the rogue starts going like, we're being hunted. Can't stay here. We need to keep moving. When the ranger goes, it will be okay. We're going to keep moving. We can't turn around. It's just as far going back as it would be going through. Tomorrow morning, when the rogue realizes the ranger's gone too, that's what's fun.
Yeah.
The level of intelligence for that sort of malicious of like, I take pleasure in breaking the strong one. No. I saw the one that does the fun thing. I'm going to make him do it again. I'm going to keep pressing the button in the Skinner box until I'm so fat that I can't reach it anymore.
I gotta go wait this off. I got too much in my belly.
Yeah.
I like that displacer beast. Okay. Question. We've alluded to it a little bit before, mm-hmm. but we're going to get to the homework section, which is by far one of my favorite sections because oftentimes it gives me things to go do in my free time. But the idea of like, what are things that people could go watch? They could read. Is it a comic? The lowest hanging fruit of course is read The Voyage of the Space Beagle. It's the displacer beast. That's not a question. That's a statement. Yeah. So what are some pieces of media people could go look into to like be better at displacing beasts?
I think Alien, sure.
No, Aliens. It won me a Trivial Pursuit one time. It's the only time. It's the only reason I bring it up when someone says Alien and I say Aliens because I won Trivial Pursuit on that. Because I forget what the question was, but someone was like, Alien. I was like, no, Aliens.
Alien is the movie where it's a single creature in the ship. Yes. And Aliens is the movie where it's the Marines, right? Definitely Alien. Yes.
I know, you but I told to you why like, I said it.
You know,
no. prefaced exactly why
but
I
that's,
said it.
That's the thing, is watch them both, because you're right. The thing you're trying to emulate is the behavior of the monster in Alien. Aliens has the Marines, and that's who you want the players to be.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You want them to go in there hyper-confident, I'm the tough one. We're going to take care of this, while Ripley's in the background going, no, you're not. Please don't take care of this. You will die horribly. And then they do.
There is a version of this that I realize their Alien could have been, some of it could have been based off of this novel that was written in the 30s. The other one you mentioned was Predator. Because then you're really changing some of the dynamics of it, but I think it works just as well. I mean, it literally cloaks. I mean, let's be honest. Like,
it's just how clever you want them to be, because the alien isn't smart. It's murderous. It's just picking off who it can when it can, whereas the predator has a little bit more method to the madness. It's very, very purposeful, and you change it from sort of borderline anti-indigenous honor system to straight up and down just, no, I'm doing this for my entertainment. It's not going to be I'm attacking based on I attack the strong one, not because I want to fight the strong one, but because the more I take out the strong ones, the more afraid the weak one is.
I'd also consider them like the Velociraptors in Jurassic Park, where they're animals, but they're a little more clever than animals, and that makes them incredibly scary, especially because you don't know how smart. So you have to keep anticipating that they're smarter than they are.
The stuff that you can get away with because they don't speak.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of thing where it's just like you think that it is just a predator. Even when it makes eye contact with you and it stalks around the outside of camp and it leaves, you're like, ah, that's a very, very clever dog. And then you hide somewhere, you close the door, and the doorknob turns.
Yeah. how clever is that dog? That's the problem.
It approaches hunting the way I approach customer service when I call. Follow me. I will always play as dumb as I need to until I don't anymore.
Right.
It doesn't benefit me in any way to just be like, blah, 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 blah. These are all the things that I know. I have gone through entire conversations where they don't think I know anything because I'm just like, I know what we're doing. And it's not going to work. If I go too hard into the paint to let you know, I have decades of experience in IT, but I just need you to do a few things. So we'll just play along with the process. And that, I mean, that's what happens in the story where it just plays along with the process.
Yeah.
Goes into their spaceship. Basically, it's locked in their holding cell and just waits until it's like, well, I'm done now. And I feel like doing that same thing of like, oh, no, it's okay. You've captured me. That's fine. I'll wait until an opportune moment.
The other thing I want to quickly pitch, if you're going to be mean, and when I say that, I italicized bold, like this is a thing that I would not generically do to a party, but they're smart and they're sneaky. If you go in there and the wizard, you know, had a long day of spelling out in the city, bunch of illusions and charm persons, and they wake up in the woods and something has torn apart its spell book. That is the cruelest thing you can possibly do to a wizard. Just lock in like, no, 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 whatever you prepared yesterday.
That's it.
Until you get a new book.
Well, I mean, in every version of that, the ranger doesn't have a bow. All the versions available. I mean, it's a rust monster with intention at that point. Which, why wouldn't it? Because all it takes is one. All it takes is one previous experience to say, hey, that book, that's not okay. That this person has a book like the last person does. And they were, first off, they were delicious. And second off, they don't need that book anymore.
The other thing about displacer beasts is that we've been talking about them as like creatures on their own, but displacer beasts were trained and raised by humanoids and in fiction continuously work alongside evil or evil aligned humanoids in conjunction with another creature. It is way more terrifying now. If it is working with something even smarter than it in conjunction, it is a terrifying presence on a battlefield because it has backup now and purpose.
It's also the best kind of Starscream.
It's fully a perfect Starscream.
Here's my biggest gripe with some characterizations of Starscream and that sort of relationship. I hate it when Starscream is qualified and maybe should be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I want Starscream to be sitting in the background shrieking about how one day I'll be in charge and Megatron will fall to the wayside. No,
he should be. Yeah, he's a great soldier. He's a really critically talented soldier. That's an important part of it. But if he's ever put in charge, he does not have the leadership capabilities. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want out of the displacer beast.
Totally.
Is just sitting there and going, yes, and when the lich falls, I will truly be the king. And then you're a cat.
It should
always, a cat in charge.
It should always be introduced giving an arch villain speech, and then the camera moves around to see it just looking at its reflection in a pond.
Yeah.
Like it always should be that level.
It's giving an arch-villain speech about the ways that it'll, like, control and manipulate the army and use them to take over the world. And only the druid hears this because he cast speak with animals earlier. And no one else knows. There's no way for him to give orders.
Yep.
What is that? Okay. The best question I have is, where can people go to find all of the awesome stuff you are both doing on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and whichever Twitter proxy. At DJ Malenfant, and you can find Kill Every Monster either on your podcatcher of choice or at KEM Podcast.
You can also find all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com, and you can find me and all of my socials and all the work I do at aram.gay.
Perfect. And of course, at some point, I'll be on your podcast. Aram, I don't know if you know, but I've been on the podcast before, and it's been recorded. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. That part I do know. Yes. Took me a second. I was like, well, am I being tricked? No. I remember.
And of course, with that, though, we will also inevitably have you both back on.
Can't get rid of me.
We just want to thank Aram and Dylan again for coming on, spending some time with us, hashing out the Displacer Beast. And of course, thank them again for having me on to do even more of that on Kill Every Monster.
And of course, if you wanted to tell us about how you've been using the Displacer Beast in your games, you can always head over and email us at dungeonmasterblock@gmail.com. Of course, if you head over to your Apple Podcast or your podcatcher of choice, you can leave us a rating and a review, which will always help us get more eyes, ears, and everything in between focused on the podcast. Of course, you can go to social media of any kind and hopefully find us by typing in Dungeon Master Block. And of course, we are a proud member of the Block Party Podcast Network, where you can check out other amazing shows like Detentions and Dragons, Dungeons and Dragons and Daughters, and more. But as always, thank you for listening to the Dungeon Master's Block, the place where we come to talk about the Dungeon Master, the most important person in the game, the only person capable of playing gods, killing characters, and lowering the egos of everybody else at the table. I'm DM Neil. Good night, good luck, and keep on Dungeon Mastering.
Goodbye.